Yeah, we got our next guest here. He's from the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. That's what it is? I got it right?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. On the money.
Right in the mic.
If you want to introduce yourself, tell us about, you know, the movement.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Brian McCormick. I'm one of the coordinators and co-founders of the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. We have a couple other members and founders coming in the studio in just a short while, delayed by the weather. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Talk about the movement.
Yeah. How long have you guys been together, and, you know, what brought you guys together?
Yeah, of course. So some of the people that will be joining us here shortly, we got together in June and July of last year. We started having conversations about what was going on in our communities, what was going on with immigration policy, as well as the upcoming presidency of Donald Trump, or 45, as many like to call him.
Mm-hmm.
And
fake news.
You know, those conversations were kind of slow. We're all involved in a lot of different things and have work and family, et cetera. So we really got up and running in late November, early December last year. And, you know, the purpose of forming this organization was really to build community across class, ethnicity, gender, et cetera, to support and protect the immigrant community in Hudson because, you know, we all, as far as the people who were involved in this initial conversation, we all grew up here. We all have friends who are immigrants. We have friends, families, et cetera, relatives, partners. So we really just wanted to make sure that we were doing all that we could to support them in what we foresaw as a difficult time coming up.
With the, you know, the presidency and everything that's been going on with immigration, is it, like, unexpected the way, you know, all of these executive orders have come through and everything that's been going on? Is this a surprise? Because a lot of what people were saying when it was coming in was, it's not going to be that bad. It's all right. Like, it's just talk. And now, you know, we've been seeing, you know, a different dynamic.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we need to be realistic about the history of this problem as well. This has been an ongoing problem. The way that we kind of see it is that previous administrations really built a fine-tuned immigration machine, and now we have a new conductor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the immigration movement has been focusing on this issue for a long time. They called Obama the deporter-in-chief because he deported over 3 million people as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily a new problem, but there are new aspects to this problem. And that is who's being targeted, how they're being apprehended, who's collaborating or coordinating those efforts, etc. And, you know, the scariest part to a lot of members of our community is that traditionally folks think that it's just undocumented people that are being targeted, but now you have people who have work permits and green cards and have varying degrees of immigration status that are being targeted, being taken away from their family, etc. And I'll leave it at that so we can introduce some of the other members that just joined us, etc.
Yeah. Well said. You want to step up, introduce yourself?
Right to the mic.
Yeah, right to the mic. Don't be shy.
Nope.
And I know you could be loud, so you can just talk.
Hi, I'm Gloria Martinez, and I'm part of the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, and I am the head of the committee of the family support. So that's what I'm currently working on right now. I'll let Juan introduce himself.
Okay, Juan, do me a favor. You have to talk right in the mic because you guys have so much. You guys got so much important stuff to be heard. We got to make sure that everybody can hear you.
Sí, habla en español, sí.
I think I'm gonna say okay.
Okay.
¿Cómo te llama?
Me llamo Juan Sánchez y vivo en Estados Unidos por 14 años. My name is Juan Sanchez. I live in United States for 14 years ago. My son, Juan Simon, is member de Sectuarios. This is more kid, más pequeño, el joven de la organización, the young.
Younger?
Okay. Younger, yeah. Los santuarios son un, como un lugar religioso. It's a religious.
You gotta translate. You gotta talk it to the mic.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is sanctuary. The definition, like the sanctuary, means to a lot of people, like it's like a religious, like, space. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So yeah, to give a little bit more context to the religious aspect of this, the sanctuary movement has a deep history. It stems from the 70s and 80s during the civil wars and dictatorships in Central America, which were largely supported by the CIA and the American governments against the democratic decisions of the people. So the people who were fleeing those situations, the United States was refusing to recognize them as political refugees because they were sponsoring the civil wars in their country. So especially in the South and like Arizona and Texas, you had the sanctuary movement forming where religious organizations were helping people to seek political asylum to come to the United States. And in some cases, they were allowing people to live in their churches as a place of sanctuary where immigration, customs enforcement, and other authorities, you know, for moral and religious reasons, wouldn't come into the churches to take them. And now you see that same aspect of the movement being carried out today when people are being faced with deportation and separation from their families. Some people at the drastic measures are living in churches.
So when people think of like this type of movement, they say, why Hudson? What makes this area? And I know that I read in the paper that they're trying to make this a sanctuary city and things like that. So what makes this area important as far as all of that?
The sanctuary is no Hudson, no Columbia County. Okay. The sanctuary is Laro City. For example, in California, mm-hmm. California's sanctuarios, California sanctuarios for immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, for example, Kingston is sanctuario city.
Yeah.
It's a no movement. It's a sanctuario city. It's the authority and the council at the mayor and the community,
mm-hmm.
is approved that now Kingston is sanctuario.
Yeah.
And this week, on Monday, Newburgh is city, sanctuario city.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation is that a lot of people, immigrant, is it? The immigrant is no Latino. Mm-hmm. When you say, oh, immigrant is Latino from Mexico, from Central America. No, immigrant is from China, mm-hmm. from Jamaica, from Haiti, from Mexico, from Ecuador, from Venezuela, from the immigrant is no Mexican.
Yeah.
Normally, when you say, "Oh, he's immigrant," you're from Mexico, from, but the people, is a lot of China's and everything.
Because Donald Trump is, it's kind of been centered around Mexicans and things like that.
But the sanctuary city is the movement in Columbia County. But last week, I going to the meeting in Sorgeris. And the Sorgeris now is organized the sanctuary movement. This is the sanctuary movement is the, ¿cómo se dice la respuesta?
The answer.
The answer. Mm-hmm. The answer, the community for defend a people immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new government. Everybody government is deport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when Obama is in the power, million people, lot of people deport.
Mm-hmm.
This is, but right now, the new government is more
aggressive,
more bad.
Yeah,
more bad.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Say tomorrow deport 13 million immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow make it the ¿cómo se dice la
el muro?
El muro.
Sí, el wall.
Tomorrow make it the war and the border.
Yeah.
tomorrow the people from Pakistan, the six country don't inside in the United States. This is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
El problema más de fondo.
The main problem
is the law, immigrant law, is broken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is no the immigrant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The Trump say that the immigrant rob the work and a citizen
mm-hmm.
people. It's no. It's not reality. This is you look at the survey, and the immigrant don't roof the work for the citizen people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Either Gloria or Brian, I want to ask you guys a question, because I know a lot of people are saying, okay, document immigrants, okay, that's fine, but what about immigrants that aren't documented or illegal? How does that fit into the sanctuary and everything like that? Because I think that a lot of people that's where their questions are.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, our movement as a whole is working to support and protect immigrants in general. We are not trying to play into this argument or this narrative where we're drawing lines between different types of immigrants. This, as Juan mentioned, is an issue that's threatening, you know, all different types of immigrants, immigrants who are undocumented, immigrants who have various different statuses like political asylum or work visas or DACA, which is for deferred action for childhood arrivals for folks that came here when they were really young, as well as permanent residents with green cards. So while we're building this movement, we want to be as inclusive as we can. And we need to make sure that all members of our community are treated with dignity and respect, regardless of status.
I totally understand. I'm just being devil's advocate here. That's all. You know, we invited you guys here, and I don't feel this way, but these are the questions that are being asked. If it's an undocumented person, should we protect them? These are the questions that they're asking. And I understand that you're trying to protect. And let's say it's someone that's already in the process of, you know, continuing the paperwork or whatever. But as far as undocumented, or I don't even want to use the term, but we'll just say undocumented, should we say, okay, we're going to protect them, we're going to make sure they're okay, and put them in the same group with people that already tried to do it the correct way? Again, I'm just playing devil's advocate, that's all.
Yeah, so I'll just add to my answer real quick, and then I'll let Gloria speak to this as well. You know, I think there's a lot of confusion what undocumented means, and there are a lot of people who come here with documentation, with travel visas, with working permits, with different statuses, and then their statuses lapse, and then they become undocumented, and then sometimes they apply for a new status and become documented again. And also you have these statuses like DACA. DACA, again, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, was a result of immigrant youth in this country mobilizing on a massive scale to get an executive order or legislation that would give them documentation to continue studying, living, working in this country. Tomorrow, if President Trump wanted to say no more DACA, I honestly am not exact on the number, but it's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of immigrant youth that are currently documented today could be undocumented tomorrow.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
I just feel like regardless of their immigration status, if they're part of our community, why not try to like make them feel safe? So I feel like that's part of the movement, what we're trying to do. Like, we're trying to support them any way that they can, support their family, support them, offer them legal advice, and et cetera. I just feel like it shouldn't really matter if they're undocumented or not. They still, they may have a family. I mean, I believe it's morally wrong to separate families.
Mm-hmm.
because of their legal status. So that's kind of like what we stand for.
Let's say, again, as devil's advocate, let's say it's an undocumented with a felony charge. You know, do we still say, okay, no problem, we still protect him because he's undocumented? And when I say undocumented, I'm not talking about someone that had documentation and is in the middle of losing it and trying to get it again. I'm talking about someone who came over here with no documentation and is here. Mm-hmm. I think, and I think that's some of the concerns that people have. Like, anyone that started the process or begun the process, I think that people are okay with. But the people that haven't, and I don't know any, but I'm just saying the people that haven't started the process and just came over, and let's say, and this is just hypothetical, let's say they have felony charges. How do we keep our community safe at the same time as keeping them safe as well?
So I have to go back to, like, even if they do have a felony charge, is deportation really the best answer for that? Like, you're still separating families. You're still causing a lot of devastation. You're traumatizing the children if they do have any. The wife, it becomes even harder for the wife to even get by. Now they're a single parent trying to, like, support the family now, the household. Mm-hmm. And I know that firsthand because of a family member of mine. So, it, like... And regardless of, like, if they did have a past conviction and they already paid for it and they already served the time, why does it matter now? I mean, the Trump administration, what they're doing right now is, like, let's deport all the criminals. So it really, and like, at right now, they're just targeting everybody that had even criminal convictions from, like, years ago, mm-hmm. you know, and they already paid the price for it. So, like, like I said again, it's really, deportation shouldn't be the answer for that. So,
and in addition, one of the new things that the Trump administration is pursuing is focusing on people that have charges. And when you ask why Columbia County, this is a great example. On February 15th, three men went into Hudson City Court with traffic tickets. Before they even had an opportunity to have a full hearing with an interpreter in front of a judge, Immigration and Customs Enforcement came out of the back of the Hudson City Police Station and took those individuals before they had due process, which is against the Constitution. The Constitution does not say that these laws, embodied in the Constitution, apply to citizens. It says everybody in this country. And now those people's families are here without their fathers, and those people are sitting in a federal immigration detention center. And I think another thing to talk about when we talk about, you know, crime and criminalizing folks is the relationship between the immigrant community and other people of color communities. These are communities that are already criminalized from the time that they're in school, when they're babies. Their communities are over-policed. They're underrepresented in services, legal representation, etc. And we know firsthand from cases that we worked on, people are getting convicted and accepting plea bargains to things that they didn't do, and that they may not have had an attorney or an interpreter to even understand what was going on in their court hearings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Trump say the immigrant is criminal. Mm-hmm. A lot of criminal. En un estudio, the Institute of Public Immigration say menos del 3% de los inmigrantes indocumentados han cometido un delito grave.
Less than 3 undocumented immigrants have committed 3% have committed serious crimes. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, documented. Yeah, well, I mean, undocumented. Well,
undocumented.
How can you have a percentage on undocumented people? I'm you know what I'm doing? I'm being that guy that's on the other end of the radio. That's all. And so don't, whatever I'm doing, I'm just doing radio.
Okay, I just don't. People in the public have. Mm-hmm. I feel like, all right, undocumented, there have been studies shown, and this has come up, and it has been proven that undocumented immigrants are less likely to reach out to police officers or to seek medical help because of their status. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, like what we're working on right now with the resolution, we're trying to like make Hudson safe and trying to assure them, like, it doesn't matter if your immigration status, that, you know, you guys will not be targeted. So, I mean, it's just something that I have read time after time.
And then in addition to talk about how people are getting these statistics, it's, you know, when people are put into the criminal justice system, like our resolution, for example, nobody's asking for people who commit crimes not to be prosecuted as a normal person under the normal laws of the Constitution in our country. And so when somebody is prosecuted and they get sentenced to something, all of that gets reported. And many times throughout that process, there are questions or it becomes known that somebody is undocumented. And so that's where statistics such as the one that Juan cited come from.
Okay. Another question, and people have asked it a lot. If Hudson or Columbia County becomes sanctuary, the fear of federal monies coming into the county could go away. We might not receive money if the administration says that.
Quiero, si quieres,
yes, I can translate.
Una cosa importante que queremos dejar claro.
The one important thing that we want to make clear
es que los movimientos santuarios,
that sanctuary movements
y la ciudad de santuario,
and sanctuary cities,
no defienden criminales.
We do not defend criminals.
No es una organización, ni un movimiento, ni una ciudad para defender criminales.
That we are not a movement, a city that we're going to defend criminals.
Que han cometido crímenes, que han sido comprobados por la ley.
So that people that have committed crimes that have went through the system,
deben ser castigados y puesto en la prisión.
That they should, you know, like be prosecuted and just go through due process.
El punto es qué significa para el gobierno ser criminal.
The point is, what does it mean for the government to be defined as a criminal?
For example, voy manejando, una persona indocumentada manejando.
If a documented person is driving,
y la policía lo detiene,
and the police detains them,
y no tiene licencia,
and he does not have a license,
entonces tiene que ir a corte.
So then he has to go to court.
Eso lo considera el gobierno como un crimen.
So the government now considers that as a crime.
Y eso es el punto entre diferenciar un crimen.
And that is the difference between crime and murder and any other type of crime.
De crimen que está comprobado, pero ir manejando sin licencia no es un crimen.
But for a person that's driving without a license, it's not a crime.
La gente maneja porque no, porque tiene necesidad.
It's a crime.
That people drive because of necessity.
I know, but it doesn't matter. If you drive without a license, it's a crime.
So it's technically, it's a violation. It doesn't come into the criminal category of misdemeanors, et cetera, but it's a violation of law. And when people say things like, you are illegal, they could be, and often are referencing a law which is called unlawful presence, and that means being here without proper documentation. That's also a civil offense. So those people are no more illegal than anyone in this room would be if they got a speeding ticket. It's the same level of offense. And to redirect back to your question about funding, there are numerous amendments and in the Constitution as well as laws that prohibit the federal government from taking funds from a state or a city based on policies such as this. There's nothing within the sanctuary city policy or any of the sanctuary city policies that I've read or researched that are breaking federal law. And if you're not breaking federal law, then there's very limited ways and times in which the federal government can deny you funding. And the Attorney General of the state of New York has actually said that he does not believe that this will happen to sanctuary cities, that he will defend them, that he will not be bullied by the federal government. And the Attorney General, who's the highest law enforcement officer in the state of New York, has put out guidelines on how local cities like our own and many others in New York can adhere to guidelines that are legal under both New York State and federal law to protect our communities.
I want to bring in, you guys have a young man here, and I'm interested to see, you know, what his role is in this process and in the movement. If you want to introduce yourself.
My name is Juan Sanchez, and I'm Juan Sanchez's son.
All right. So like, how old are you?
14.
14. And what does all this mean to you? And why is it important?
Well, I'm not sure. Like, I think it's right to, like, help families through, like, whatever they're going through.
Mm-hmm. What's, like, what's something that you've learned through this process?
I don't know.
Not sure?
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Is this the type of work you would want to do when you're older? Like, what do you want to do when you're older?
I don't know. I kind of want to be a lawyer.
Yeah? Why? Yeah.
I don't know. Like a defense lawyer to see, like, I don't know, just, like, defend the people that, like, are innocent.
Yeah, getting unfair treatment.
Mm-hmm.
What's, like, something you would tell the people listening about, you know, this movement?
Just, like, do your research on it, like, so that you're not, like, assuming anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, follow it, like, to see, like, what's going on.
Yeah, you got a deep voice for a 14-year-old, man. I'm a little jealous.
yeah, he does, too, right?
Is there anything I'm missing that I should be asking you? What's your favorite event that you've been through with the movement, or something that you've been a part of and you were able to see?
Well, Kites Nest. Mm-hmm. I do Kites Nest every summer. Like, SJLA.
Yeah, shout out SJLA, Kites Nest.
And so, like, that's a social justice program, basically. So I'm a part of that. And, like, that's what kind of got me into this at first. It's like the whole social justice mm-hmm. thing.
We with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
V, you got
cool. I think you covered it with him.
Yeah.
He does got a deep voice, though.
Yeah. they might have to have you up there for some speeches and stuff. You got to speak to the people.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
So I'm going to go around the room and ask, you know, each person, why is this important to you personally? And I'll start with you, Brian.
So I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but this is important to me personally because on a local level, I grew up in Hudson, and one of the communities that I was most a part of and most passionate about was the soccer community or international football community. And within that community, it's very diverse. It's one of, if not the most popular sports in the world. And so growing up in Hudson, being out on the soccer field with people from so many different cultures and different backgrounds, speaking so many different languages, it really influenced me in learning more about the world and learning more about people. And that's what I went on to do in college. And so on a local level, I know these people, I know their families, I know how much they contribute to the community, I know how much they've contributed to my life personally, and I continue to play football with them, I continue to go to their houses, to have dinner with them, to get to know them more deeply. And all of those are reasons why I think that, you know, we need to be supporting our community members that are going through these difficult times.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going back to the federal funding.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a threat
para intimidar
to intimidate
a las ciudades
to the cities
que están en el proceso
that are in the process of declaring a sanctuary city or sanctuary.
El estado de Nueva York particularmente,
in New York State in particular,
es un estado,
it's a state
pro-immigrante,
pro-immigrant
que alberga una cantidad muy grande de inmigrantes de todo el mundo.
¿Qué es alberga?
Albergar.
That a lot of undocumented or that a lot of immigrants live in New York.
Y las autoridades principales, digamos, en el fiscal del estado,
and the fiscal,
the economy,
the
fiscal, el gobernador,
the government,
el alcalde de la ciudad principal del estado de Nueva York,
the mayor, the mayor of New York,
han hecho declaraciones,
they have made declarations,
que están en favor,
that they are in favor,
y que apoyan,
that they support,
a la comunidad inmigrante porque
the immigrant community, because
saben que es una comunidad que produce,
that they know that it's a community that produces
ingresos a la economía del estado,
ingreso, money, like money, that they produce money to the communities,
for the economy.
Y quiero decir que si el gobierno quisiera sacar a la gente,
so he wants to say if the government wants to take out the people,
lo haría.
He would.
Tiene cómo hacerlo.
He has a way to do it.
Pero sabe,
but he knows
que esos inmigrantes,
that those immigrants
que están indocumentados,
that are undocumented,
le producen más recursos,
produces more revenue,
entre comillas, entre paréntesis, porque ellos no reciben beneficios sociales del trabajan.
Because they do not receive benefits,
por ejemplo,
social benefits.
Por ejemplo, una persona que trabaja en una finca.
Like, for example, a person that works in the farms.
Trabaja 15 horas diarias.
They work 15 hours a day.
6 días a la semana.
6 days of the week,
no
out of
le
the week.
Pagan por hora.
They don't pay them by hour.
Le pagan por semana.
They pay them by week.
Entre 200 y 300 dólares a la semana.
Between 200 and 300 a week.
¿Cuánto significa eso en dinero si le pagaran por hora?
How much does that mean if they pay them? How much would that be if they would have paid them by an hour?
Y no le pagan beneficio.
And they don't pay them any. They don't receive any benefits.
Es decir, ahí podemos ver. Yo lo considero una explotación.
He considers that an exploitation.
Pero
Nadie
lo reconoce.
But nobody recognizes it.
Entonces están explotando a la gente allí.
So they're exploiting the people there.
Y producto de esa explotación producen dinero.
And the product of that is that they are making money.
¿Qué hace un patrón cuando le dice el cuando el trabajador quiere protestar?
What does the boss do when the worker wants to protest?
Le dice, te voy a denunciar con migración para que te lleve.
Basically, they would say, I'm going to
deport you.
Yeah, report you to immigration.
Y la gente no protesta.
And the people do not protest because they are scared.
Así es la vida del inmigrante aquí.
And that is the life of an immigrant here.
Mm-hmm.
Él también quiere preguntar, ¿qué significa el movimiento santuario para usted?
Personal.
El movimiento santuario,
the sanctuary movement for him,
es una respuesta,
it's just like a response,
a una situación particular que se ha venido dando,
to a particular situation that's been happening.
Somos seres humanos.
We are humans.
Y creo
human
que
beings.
La parte humana,
and just our human being,
es más importante,
is way more important
que las leyes que que producen los gobiernos,
than the laws that the government produces.
Todos son mis hermanos. No importa el color.
That they are all his brothers. Doesn't matter
raza,
the color, the race,
la religión,
the religion.
Somos seres humanos.
That we are all human.
Y en nuestras venas,
and in our veins,
la sangre es roja.
Our blood is red.
No existe otro color.
There is no other color.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Gloria?
That's Juan. Always know what to say.
We got to give him the clap. Let's give him the clap for that one. Give him the clap. Gloria, same question.
So the sanctuary movement for me, it means so much to me because it's so personal, so close to home, because I have family members who are undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, she has been going through immigration process for years now. She recently had a check-in, and just seeing firsthand, like, the BS that happens with the immigration system is just ridiculous. So I decided to just step up and do something. I keep telling, you know, people, like, it's serious when an introvert gets involved, because, like, you know, like, before, like, I was, like, too scared or too shy to, like, get involved. So, like, now I'm here speaking for people that are just for people who are scared to speak up, and just working directly with people who are victims of being separated from their loved ones, really opened my eyes, and it just resonates very closely to me because I am able to, like, understand firsthand, like, what it means. So, yeah.
Yeah, I saw on your page you had signs and stuff, and you guys were at that event. Tell us about that experience and, you know, being that where your mother had to check in, and what does that mean?
Well, I have to clarify, like, I've been to check-ins with my mother before. Mm-hmm. And I was telling, you know, Brian the other day, it seemed like, you know, it became the norm. This is, like, was nothing new. We've been going through this for a while. My mom has, this is her third lawyer now that she's going through. Mm-hmm. Because the other two lawyers messed up on her paperwork, and there was a clerical error that happened, and her TPS, which is temporary protective service, got revoked. Mm-hmm. So it was like nothing new, but the last two check-ins, my mom's officer basically took her passport away and basically said, I have your passport now. Now I can deport you at any time. So, yeah. Like, at the last check-in, you know, the officers, they're, like, rolling their eyes. And even the supervisor, they just weren't understanding, like, why we were there. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, it really baffles me. It is just, like, my mom's been going through this for years. And then you're asking why we're here with a whole bunch of people, and why we have a lawyer, why we're making a big deal. But at the last check-in, you guys took her passport and kind of, like, nonchalantly threatened her. What, like, come on, are you serious? Like, common sense. If that was your mother, what would you do? You know, like, so, yeah, that's why we were there. We showed out, and, yeah.
Yeah, and in addition, you know, this is something that's going on across the country. It's not just folks in Columbia County that are affected by this. Mm-hmm. Like Gloria said, right, it's nothing new. Essentially, what these check-ins are the immigration process or the immigration enforcement's way of holding their thumb on people, of threatening them, of making them scared. It's like probation, even if you never committed a crime. And the reason why people are becoming terrified is because under the new administration, the new executive orders, people are being taken out of their regular check-ins. There's been in some cases, there's been no change in their status, and they've been going to these check-ins for a long time. And then all of a sudden, a mother is taken from her children and deported. And nobody knew that was going to happen. Nobody expected it to happen. And so now part of our movements around the country is to show up for these immigration appointments, to show community support, and to show that we're watching, and we're not going to let our loved ones, our community members, our family members just be taken without a fight.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, we want that emotion. We're trying to win a radio Emmy here.
You got my vote.
V, anything else?
No, they went deep, man. I appreciate them coming in, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, my questioning was all just devil's advocates, you know, just trying to look at the other side. A lot of times what we try to do is we try to bring two sides in, one that agree and not one that disagree, but that's going to give you some other feedback so that it doesn't look like we're just saying, okay, we're all for, and not just your movement, any movement. We just want to make sure that people know that. I don't want you guys to think like I was like.
No,
I was
saying I've heard your radio stations, and I kind of got a feel of what, you know, we're coming into. So.
Did your research?
Yeah. So what can we do as a community if we are willing to join into this effort and into this movement?
So I mean, you know, all of us talked about different personal reasons why we're involved, right? Mm-hmm. And we want folks to know that it's not just the four people that you see in this radio station or here in this radio station. It's not just the dozens of people that you see at the protests, at the vigils, etc. We have farmers, we have people who own farms, farm workers, we have business leaders, we have churches, we have people from all different parts of our society supporting this movement. There is some way that anyone who wants to get involved can get involved, and you can go to our Facebook page, you can shoot us an email, just let us know what you do, how you want to get involved, and we'll figure it out. And the most urgent thing that's going on right now is our policy initiative in the city of Hudson, which is a sanctuary city resolution, formerly known as the resolution affirming Hudson as a welcoming and inclusive city. And we've been working on this resolution for months now. It's gone through multiple informal discussions with the full common council. It's been through two police committee meetings. It's been through two legal committee meetings. Both the legal committee and the police committee voted unanimously to pass this resolution, and now it's going to go before the common council. So what we want folks to do is call up your representative, your alderman, tell them to vote the same way they voted in their committees. Don't let them differ from that vote or go away from that vote because of what people are trying to say to scare them. And if you want to turn out, you can turn out with us on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at City Hall, 520 Warren Street.
Is that Tuesday the 21st?
Yes, Tuesday the 21st, and that's where the full common council will be voting on this resolution.
I just want to add that I don't know if you guys have kept up with some of the videos that have been posted up from the past meetings. Well, one of them, you know, said, you know, I don't know why we're even passing this resolution. Well, I just want to, like, emphasize and, like, really express how important this resolution means for people like my mother, for people that I work with within the community. It might be a piece of paper with just writing for some people, mm-hmm. but for people that are being directly affected by this, means the world. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, we, you know, it makes no sense. Oh, it's already, you know, the police already, like, following the policies, da da da. Okay, whatever. But for the people that are being directly affected, if you really care about community, your community in Hudson that is so diverse, then pass it. You know, I don't understand why, you know, like, why it would be so such a big issue. I mean, just going back to the past videos and, you know, the past mm-hmm. meetings. So I just want to emphasize, like, how important and what it means to people that are being directly affected by it. So
they're a little crazy at those common council meetings. So it would be mm-hmm. would be suggested to bring as many people possible. Yeah. To to be there, because you never know what's going to happen at those things.
Yo, I heard y'all might be doing, like, a live radio broadcast or something.
I don't even know if they'll let us back in there, man. They ran us out a couple times.
They ran us out.
Yeah, we've been in a couple movements.
I'm
going
to try to be
ourselves.
There, though.
Yeah, I'm going to try to be
I'm
there.
I'm
going to
try to show up.
Yeah.
Thank you. I want to say thank you very much. Everybody, people, help the Santuario. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I don't have idea. I live in here for 15 years now, and I don't see the helper. And a lot of people, citizens from Columbia County, mm-hmm. help the Sanctuarios movement, and they call and send the mail and posted in the Facebooks, and they say, what you need? I want to help. I have lawyer. You need a lawyer. You need food. You need the money. You need it's incredible. I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate your helper. And it's incredible. And thank you, Jure, for invite mm-hmm. the you show. It's very important. The community listen. The mm-hmm. what is the movement.
That's one thing I did want to say is one thing that we can definitely do, and we definitely want to hear from you guys next Wednesday, but this is an open-door policy. You guys are always welcome. Even mm-hmm. if you can't make it in, we are on every Wednesday, 4 to 6. You can call us, and you can have your time slot you need to be able to get out any message, And our airwaves are your airwaves. Yes. This is a community radio show. Mm-hmm. And we do not turn down anyone. And I really enjoyed this conversation. So, and plus, like I said, SJLA, Kleistness, we've been in the movements. We've mm-hmm. been in
SBK.
Yeah, I couldn't say that, you know, because
I can.
Yeah, you can. But it's just that we are here to help, and that's what community radio is all about. And mm-hmm. They gave us an opportunity for us to have a platform, and our job to the community is to open up the platform for everybody to be heard. And we are here for groups like this.
Yeah.
So it's an open door whenever you guys want to come in. Mm-hmm. And even if it's like last minute, all you have to do is call and mm-hmm. say, hey, we need 5 minutes. But we definitely want to hear from you guys next Wednesday, no matter what. I'm going to try to make it next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And because I know it's crazy there. So give out the time and the date and make sure you push it on Facebook, because the Common Council, it's crazy there. I've been to quite a few meetings.
It's on Facebook now, so if you guys want to share it on your personal pages, go ahead.
Yeah, we
you
will. Know? We will.
Definitely.
Yo, and we want to reiterate all the love that we have for y'all. Y'all, your radio station has been so important to our efforts to build community here in the city, and you really are the voice of the people. You give them the opportunity to say what they need to say, and our movements, our organizations, our community are better and growing because of that. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate it, and thank you guys for coming out. And you know, next week, let's touch base again. Final thoughts?
All right.
He just wants to take advantage.
Okay.
to announce.
Go ahead.
That very soon we're going to have an event in Hudson of a movement called Cosecha that we are also part of.
Okay.
This movement, what they are planning,
they
are planning a national strike.
Okay.
That more, you know, when it comes time to, we will inform people about it.
Right here.
Okay.
We want the exclusive.
Yeah.